Greetings and welcome back to another and ongoing series of Shurim on Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom. We are now in Masechet Gittin, Daf Yud Aleph Amud Bet, looking at the first half of Mishnah Hay, which will take us to Yod Gimel Amud Aleph. At that point, we'll look at the rest of Mishnah Hay, which will take us to the end of the Perek. Ha'omer Tein Get Zeli Ishti Ushtar Shechur Zela Avdi. This is the fourth common feature between get and shtar shichur, according to our mayor, that we mentioned in the earlier podcast. If a fellow says, give this get to my wife, or give this shtar shichur to my eved, mayor says in either case, he can retract the shlichut before the get gets presented to the recipient. Chum say that that's true about a get, but not about emancipation, based on the following principle. The principle works as follows. You can appoint yourself, as it were, an agent on behalf of another when the result of that agency is a pure benefit to the other. So, for instance, you find a metzia of something that you have no interest in, but you have a friend who absolutely has an interest in. There's no questions about the fact that it's a metzia without simonim, and there's total yeush, etc. You can pick it up on his behalf, and it's his. On the other hand, you cannot act on someone's behalf when there's also a detriment to it, unless they've appointed you in advance. Now, in this case, the middleman between the husband slash owner who is directing that a writ be composed, as the middleman, you can act on behalf of anyone for whom the reception of that document is going to be a pure benefit. So our mayor's position is that in neither case is it a benefit for the woman to be divorced or for the slave to be freed, and therefore they are not divorced or freed until they themselves get the writ. Since they haven't gotten it yet, you can pull them back. Chachamim say that it is a benefit for the slave to go free, and we'll see what that dispute is about. And therefore, the minute that you, as the middleman, get the order and write the shtar shichur, you have already accepted it on his behalf. There's no retraction, which is not true for a get. So the principles, lefish zachin adam shlo b'fanav, you may act on someone's benefit without his, literally, away for, in his absence. But what it means is without his explicit directing you to do so. V'in chavin lo ala b'fanav, but you cannot act to incur a debt on his behalf, or something to his detriment without his explicit direction. And now the Chachamim explain what they mean. If a man doesn't want to feed his slave, Rishoi, he can do without that. That'll be the main focus of our sugya. But he cannot do so with his wife. And therefore, the wife certainly has a benefit to being married in that she's supported, sort of a bare-bones benefit, whereas the slave doesn't have such a benefit. He has to work for the guy. He doesn't necessarily have to get fed. So going free is always good for the slave. Her mayor answered back, after all, if the owner is a Kohen, and if he liberates his slave, the slave now can no longer eat truma, so there's a downside for him, so it's better for him not to be freed. Just as he disenfranchises his wife, meaning truma, if he's a Kohen. Now, that, of course, doesn't cover all the cases where the master is not a Kohen. We'll see that in the Gemara. Amrulom neshu kinyano. So the Chacham's response to Reb Meir is that the reason that he invalidates him from eating truma is because the Kohen owns him. How is that an answer? We'll see in the Gemara also. Okay. This is a backdoor sugya in which we're going to begin discussion from a slightly different place and backpedal in. Yativ Rav Huna of Rav Yitzchak, this is not the Rav Huna of the Talmud of Rav, this is Rav Huna who was in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Huna of Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, coming to Rav Yirmiyah. They're sitting in front of Yirmiyah. Yativ Rav Yirmiyah become a nam name. Rav Yirmiyah was dozing. Yativ Rav Huna v'kamar. So Rav Huna said, Shma minami d'Rabbanan. We can infer from the Rabbanan's position in our Mishnah, who say that it is a benefit for the slave to go free. And therefore, when the middleman gets the order to write the get for him, you can't retract it anymore. So what can we infer from there? Hatofes the Baal Chov Kana. That if you grab something on behalf of a creditor, then the kinyan is good. Meaning, as an example, someone dies and leaves an estate, and he had all sorts of people who he owed money to. And one of them is a friend of yours, but he's out of town. and other people are vying for what's on the estate and they're grabbing it up. So you go grab it up on his behalf, that grab is valid. Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, so one of his chaverim said to him, Afilu Malkum Shechav L'Acherim, he said, Ravuna, is that true even if you're cutting another guy out? Amar Le'in, sure. So Adahachi Ita Baruch Rav Yirmiyah, Rav Yirmiyah then woke up, Amar Le'udardiki, he scolded them, he said, little kids, Hachim Rav Yochanan said, Hatofis, the Baal Chov, Malkum Shechav L'Acherim, Lo'kana. If you grab something on behalf of Baal Chov and it cuts another Baal Chov out, or somebody else out who has a claim on that, the Kinyan's no good. And if you want to challenge that from our Mishnah, because after all here, you're grabbing a get on behalf of the Shaliach, and the Shaliach, on behalf of the Eved, and the Eved never appointed you, and so you're like Tofes the Baal Chov. And it's Malkum Shechav L'Acherim, because you're hurting the Baal, and nonetheless we say that it's a valid Tfisa. Said, Kol Omer Tenu, Kol Omer Zchudami. The answer is that whenever you say Tenu, as in our Mishnah, the guy said, give it, what you mean is also Zchu. He doesn't just mean give it, he means I want you to make a Kinyan on behalf of giving it, so I'm really separating myself from the whole piece. Alright, Amar Rav Chista. Now we're going to take a look at this. Atofes the Baal Chov, Malkum Shechav L'Acherim, Panam Machlok Rabbi Eliezer V'Rabbanan. Rav Chista suggests that this issue about Tofes the Baal Chov, Malkum Shechav L'Acherim is really rooted in Machlok Rabbi Eliezer V'Rabbanan about Pe'ah. Pe'ah, the corner of the field, is something that only the poor have access to or have the rights to. Dinan, this is a Mishnah in Pe'ah. Misha L'Keitet HaPe'ah V'Maharezu L'Ploni Ani. A guy grabs Pe'ah and says, this is, I mean, the guy grabs it as a wealthy guy, or he's not a poor guy, he's above the poverty line. He grabs it and he says, this is for my buddy, the Ani. Rabbi Eliezer Omar Zacharlo. Rabbi Eliezer says it works, because after all, you're Tofes the Baal Chov, Malkum Shechav L'Acherim. Other Anim are getting cut out of that Pe'ah that you grabbed. He said, no, you have to give it to the first Ani you meet. Your Kinyan's no good. Maybe you acquired the Pe'ah, but certainly not on his behalf. And now, since you're not an Ani, you have to give it to an Ani. Which means, like Rabbi Yochanan. So, Amar Meimar, Vitema Papa, so they're going to challenge what Rav Chista said. Dilmalohi, perhaps they're not the same. Ad kan lo kam Rabbi Eliezer hatam. Perhaps Rabbi Eliezer's position is unique to Pe'ah. Ela demigo dibay mafker lehu lenichse. After all, anybody can become an ani on the spot. All they have to do is declare that everything they own is ownerless. Be mafker everything they own on the spot. You're an ani on the spot. Pe'ah is yours. Since theoretically you have that possibility, you have the potential to do it. Therefore, your kinyan is good. And vahave ani v'chazilei umigo lezochel anafshe zochel achaber. And since you, as a theoretical ani, could grab it for yourself, you could also grab it for him. And this is what the Gemara elsewhere deals with. Is talking trei migo. It's like a double potential here, right? Aval hachalo. But here, where it's a question of stam tofes the Baal Chov, Rabbi Eliezer might say it doesn't work. V'adkan lo kamer rabbanon hatam. And perhaps because, of course, the difference is that there's the whole class of anim who have a right to this, including your friend. Now, v'ad kan lo kamer rabbanon hatam, maybe the rabbanon only disallow it, ela dichtiv lo talaket le'ani. Now, on the page, I put the comma where the etnachtai is, and we're reading this midrashically. The leket tzercha lo talaket, you're not allowed to collect the leket, le'ani v'lager tells over time, you have to leave it for the ani. But the way we're reading it midrashically is lo talaket le'ani, meaning lo talaket lo le'ani, you can't collect it for some other ani. Special halacha, the anim have to pick it up themselves. Aval hachalo, but in Tofes the Baal Chov might be okay. Maybe it's unique halacha to pay it. Rabbi Eliezer, hi lo talaket my avilai. So what does Rabbi Eliezer do with that pasuk with its different reading? Mibay le'lahazir alani al shalo. Lo talaket lani, meaning that if you're an ani, but for some reason you own some land, you also have to leave pay'ah. Right? Good. So he has a different drush on it. Now, the argument that the Rabbanan provided was, that if a man wants to not feed his slave, he can do so. So the slave always has a plus by being freed, and never a minus. Whereas a man cannot refuse to feed his wife, which means that a wife always has the basic security of food on the table while she's married. Now, Shaman Mina, what can we infer from here? Yachol Arav Lamar La'ebed Aseimi Ve'ini Zanach. A master can say to his servant, you have to work for me, and I'm not going to feed you. It sounds like it. No, we soften it by saying, what's the case in our Mishnah? Where the guy says, listen, you go work. I'm not going to make you work. You go work, and whatever you earn, you get to keep for your food. Which means, if you think about it, so what's the point of having him as a slave? all right, that's a question, which perhaps means he's holding him as an investment, or he's going to change the deal later. Maybe it's off season, so he doesn't need him. So he says, you know what, go find yourself a job, feed yourself, it's fine. The chavataga be'isha, but then there's no distinction between that and a wife. If a man says to his wife, you can keep your own wages and feed yourself, if she agrees to it, that's fine. Isha amaylo. So the isha b'lo safko. In the case of a woman, if she doesn't make enough money to feed herself, then you don't have the right to do that. So eved nami b'lo safik. So go back and say, well, that means that in the case of the eved, if his wages don't cover his food bill, then you're allowed to do that? That's what you're trying to argue. So the question is, avda naum karse lo shavya, if an eved can't even make enough to pay for his food bill, lamar lamarta and la mitbay, what do they want him for? There's no point in owning an eved that can't work enough to cover his own food expenses. So that's not likely. So we certainly have an eved here who can feed himself and take care of himself, which means at this point we have not proven that a master has the right to say to an eved, you have to work for me and I'm not going to feed you. Go beg. Toshma, Eved Shegalal Arimiklat. So if an Eved killed somebody inadvertently, and he runs away to the city of refuge, Ein Rabo Chayav Luzuno. The master doesn't have to send him food. Volo Or Ela Shemaseh Adav L'Rabo. Not only that, but if whatever work he does there, the wages get shipped to his master. In the meantime, he's got to beg. Now, Shemaminaya Chol Arav L'Mar La'Eved Aseh Mivenizah. No, no. That should prove quite clearly that the master does have the right to say to his slave, work for me, and I'm not going to feed you. Again, it's a case where he said, no, you work and you keep your own food. So then why did the Brita say that his earnings go back to the master if the master said, keep your earnings and feed yourself? That's talking about surplus. If his food bill is $200 and he earns $400, the extra $200 goes back to his master. That's a no-brainer. Obviously, anything above and beyond his mizonot bill goes to his master. So, since after all, if he doesn't have enough money, the master doesn't have to fill in the gap. So maybe it should be at least a reasonable symmetry where if the Eved doesn't make enough to feed himself, the master doesn't have to make the difference. So if the Eved earns more, maybe he gets to keep the difference. Right? So then it's Kamash Malan. Umayshal Aremiklat. So why did you pick Aremiklat as opposed to just any kid situation? Sagudai Tachamena, because I would think that in the case of Aremiklat, it says V'chai. He has to run away there and live. And there's also a drashot in the second parak of Makot about what that means, that if a master goes, his students have to go with him because he has no life without that. Abile chayuta tfei. Maybe it means you have to give him a little extra living, which means maybe he can keep his surplus. So kamash malan that not. Hamaniktani seifa, but in the seifa of that brayta about the Aremiklat, it says, havalisha shegaltah Aremiklat, if you have a woman who was exiled, ba'alach hayav nizonotah, her husband has to feed her. It must be a case where he didn't say, keep your own wages. It must be a case where he's keeping the wages. So then for in the parallel case with the Eved, he's keeping the wages, and he still doesn't have to feed him, which takes us back to our earlier claim. Because if the husband said to the wife, keep your own wages and feed yourself, why is he chayav to feed her? So I'm going to say for the lo amar la, reishanami lo amar la. Since the second case, the case of the woman, is a case where he didn't make that deal with her, the reisha with the eved must also be that. So liolam de amar la, no, really it's a case where he told him. Yishabat lo safka, the woman, we're talking about a case where she doesn't earn enough to feed herself. So, but look at the very end of that bright, that says, vim amar la, tzim asayadak mzonotayich, rishoi. So the Brita reads as follows, an Eved, then a regular Isha, and then in the case of an Isha, if he told her, feed yourself, then he doesn't have to feed her. Keep your own wages, he doesn't have to feed her. Michlal Dereisha Lo Amar La. It must be that the middle case was where he didn't say that to her. No, Hachi Kamar, this is how we parse the Brita. Ve'im Maspeket, if her wages cover her food, Ve'amar La Tzim Asayadach Mizonotayich, and he told her, okay, just keep your wages and feed yourself, Rishai, that's okay. So in other words, we don't have three cases, we have two cases, the Eved and the Isha. In the case of the Isha, we say that he has to feed her, but if her wages cover her food bill and he tells her, keep your wages, feed yourself, that's permissible. Masbeket, Maila Memra, so what's the Chiddush of that? To tell me that if she makes enough and he tells her to keep it, then it's obvious that that's perfectly permissible. So I would have thought that we should do everything we can to allow the woman to stay in the house and not have to go out and earn her own way, kamash malan, that the husband has a right to do that. Okay, so lema ketanoi, perhaps this whole issue of the ability of the master, the rights of the master to tell his slave, you feed yourself and work for me anyways, is a machlok ketanaim. The slave can say to his master during years of famine, "Oh, parnaseinu yotzeinu l'chirut, either feed me or liberate me." They said, "No, it's up to the master." Now, my law b'hakimi palgi, isn't this the machloket? Demar savar yachol, demar savar ino yachol, that the chachamim say yachol. Therefore, you have the right to say to the slave, "Sorry, I got no food to give you, but you still work for me." And Rosh Hashanah says, "No, you don't have such a right, and therefore, if you can't feed him, you must liberate him." V'tisbra, but think about it. Does that work? Hi, o parnaseinu o hotzeinu l'chirut. So it shouldn't be either free me or send me free. You should have said, either feed me or let me keep my wages. That should have been the deal. And why did you pick the case of the years of famine? It's about something else. In general, the master said to the slave, feed yourself, use your own wages. But there's a famine. There's not a lot of work, and therefore he doesn't have enough. Mishbago Savar, he holds, he says, either feed me or let me go free. Why? Because at least if I'm a free man who's poor, and there's a lot of poor men, so people give me some stock up. Rabbanan Savar, what do they hold? Anybody who's going to have compassion on somebody who's not a slave will also have compassion on a slave. So you don't gain anything by being freed, and therefore you have no leverage to maintain that if there's famine and the master can't feed me, then you should feed me. But that has nothing to do with the issue of Yachol Harav. Toshma, so let's see if we can see it here. De'amarav ha-maktish de'avdo. If a master says, I maktish what my eved earns. After all, I own that. So I maktish it. Oto ha-eved lo veve ochel ve'oseo foreah. What does the slave do? He borrows money, and that's what he uses to eat. And then he works, and he pays back with that money. So shma min ha-achol ha-rav lomar la-eved ha-sei mi ve'nizanach. So obviously that means that the master has the right to say to his slave, work for me, and I won't feed you. So achamai haskin ha-mal ha-lamazonot. We're talking about a case where the master is feeding him. So if that's the case, ihachi lamai love of ochel. So why does he have to borrow money and then eat and then work and pay back with what he's got? Lahadafa. That is, if he wants to eat more than what his master normally gives him. Master normally gives him two meals a day. He wants a snack. Vale malay hekdesh. Why doesn't hekdesh say to him, ad hashta sagilach v'lo hadafa, before we entered into this whole thing, you ate exactly what your master gave you, two meals a day. Right? V'hashta nami tiskilach v'lo hadafa. So you don't have a right to take the hekdesh and use it to pay back a loan that you used to fill your stomach extra more than you used to. Now the answer is hekdesh gufen echali. The hekdesh itself is interested in this. Why? We want the eved to be better fed. And therefore, if he's a snack in the middle of the day, that'll be better for him. So the hekdesh is interested in this. Now, we said osa uforea. We said in that Rav's statement that he borrows money, eats with that, that's the extra, and then he works and he pays back. Well, that doesn't work. Kama kadish lay, every little bit that he earns and becomes hekdesh. How can he use it to pay back? The answer is pacha pacha mishar pruta. He earns less than a pruta, which hekdesh doesn't have a claim on, and then he pays it back, and then he earns a little less than etc. Hachanam mistabra de amarav, and you have to say that because Rav also said a makdish de avdo oto ha'eved osev yochel. If a man is makdish his slave's earnings, what did Rav just say? The hekdesh works, and therefore he has to borrow money to eat, but then he can work and pay it back. And we said, he has to work. Each pachad shabruti pays back. But Rav also said that an eved, if a master does that, the eved can work and eat, which means it doesn't work. So we have to find a reconciliation between these two statements of Rav. The ilo avda man palachle, and what's Rav's argument? that that if he doesn't eat, who's going to take care of him? If he doesn't work, who's going to work for him? So it must be that that case is a case where the master is feeding him. And he doesn't have the rights to say that. And this case is where the master is not feeding him, and therefore this last case, and therefore the Eved has every right. To, in other words, the master doesn't have the right to say, "I'm not going to feed you, and you got to work for yourself." So if he's makdish the wages of the Eved can still eat from that, unless of course the master is feeding him, in which case he can't, but he can do the paying back thing with pachat pachat and shavu bruta. But if you want to tell me that our first case, our index case of Rav, is where the master is not feeding him, and the master has the right to say, "I'm not going to feed you, and you got to take care of yourself, and the wages are mine," then right? Then what's this argument that that who's going to work for him? Man deboy niflache. Whoever wants to can work for, can make him work, right? Because again, he's not required to feed him. If that's the case, so it must be that he is required to feed him. And there is, we do not say Yachol HaRav. So you cannot infer from Rav's statement that the master has the right to say to his Eved, "I'm not going to feed you, and you and the wages still go to me." So we can infer from Rav that there is no way for the master to say, "I'm not feeding you, and you still have to work for me, and the wages go to me." Toshman dam Rabbi Yochanan. Let's see what Rabbi Yochanan said. Kotei yarav dosha chaver. If a man cuts off the arm to some other permanent injury to an eved belonging to his friend, notein shivtor fuatol rabo. He has to pay the master for lost wages and for medical expenses. The Eved himself is fed by Tzedakah. So Shmamina Yachol Rav Lomar LaEved Asei Mi VeNizanach. You see that the master has the right to say, "Work for me, and I'm not going to feed you," because, after all, the Eved is fed by Tzedakah, not by the master. So Achamai Askinim Mala LaMizono. We're talking about a case where the master is feeding him. So Yachya Mai Nizon Minat Tzedakah. So why is he fed by Tzedakah? Well, Hadofa, because he needs a little extra. Yachya Nizon Mit Parnesin Vayel. It shouldn't say Nizon, which is substance, subsistence, but rather meet parnesim b'alei. He gets money from them. Alav shmamina yachol shmamina. Here, Rav Yochanan clearly says yachol, that a master has the right to say, "I'm not going to take care of you," and in the meantime, the wages are mine. Good. Amar. Now let's go look back at the previous statement. Ten shivtor fuato l'rabo, that you have to pay the lost wages and medical costs to the master. Shivto pshita, that's a no-brainer to say you have to pay lost wages to the master. Refuato itzurichle, it was there because of refua. So refuato didehi, tabai itzuibe, obviously the refua belongs to the master because he's the one who has to heal him. So lo tzricha damdu alacham shiyomi, this is the case where they estimated that he's going to need 5 days of recovery. But they put a special, very sharp drug that healed him quicker in 3 days. I might think that the pain that he incurred by this extra express refua is pain that is a payment that should go to the Eved. So kamash polan that it's not. Tanya Amar Lazar, Marnu lo Meir. This goes back to the Mishnah. We said to Rabbi Meir, who said that it is a schut for the Eved to go free, and therefore he's free right away. That it's a chova for the Eved to go free, and therefore the master can pull back the shlichut in both cases. So we said to Rabbi Meir, Halo schutu le Eved shi etzevin tachet yad rabo de rabo lechirut. This is an explication of the Mishnah. We said to him, after all, it's good for him to go free. He said to us, "No, it's not. Shimaya Eved Kohen. If his master was a Kohen, poslo mina truma, he can't eat truma." So Amarnalo, what do we say back? So after all, if the master wants to not feed him at all, Rishoy. So Amarlanu, and that doesn't necessarily cut into our Yachol issue, because that could mean, and he says, "Keep your own wages," meaning he could come out and cut him out of all the food. Amarlanu, ma ilu Eved Kohen shibarach v'ishet Kohen shimarda al pa'ala. If you have an Eved coin or an Eshet coin, who in one way or another rebel. The woman refuses to have relations with her husband or do the proper work, or an eved ran away. But they still eat truma. Lo ochlim truma. V'zeino yachol enochel. And the one that you're cutting out cannot eat truma. Right? So, aval isha chovula. For a woman, it's a chov. Shekein pasla minat truma. V'fasidah minat mezonot. A woman who's married to a kohen loses truma, and she also loses mezonot support. So, my kamar lehi, my kamar hadalei. What was this conversation? So, hachi kamar lehu. This is what Rav Meir said to them. Hey, shavtuni ala mezonot. All you've answered me is about mezonot. Ma teshivuni ala truma. What are you going to say about truma? V'chi teimru ibai zarik legito pasile. If you want to tell me, yeah, if he wants to, he could just throw the get directly at her and pasel her. So, shavik leva arik v'azal alma. After all, the eved could just run away. And what's the deal with an eved who runs away or a woman who's more red? They still eat truma. Ma'ilu eved koin shabarach v'esh koin shamardal ba'alah lo'achlim truma. V'zeino yachol ochel, but this one that is getting the get cannot eat anymore, so it really is a chov. So Shapakamar lehu, he said, as we say, he said a solid argument. Amarava hainu de kamahadri le matnitin mneishu kinyano. That's why in the Mishnah the answer was mneishu kinyano, meaning, the boy shakel arba zuzi mi Yisrael, apostle, kol echadite. All that the coin has to do, the owns the eved, is go up to some non-coin, sell the eved, get some money for him, and immediately the eved, wherever he's run away, can't eat truma anymore. So it's not true. You can't do that with an isha, but you could do that with an eved. An eved, you could sell to somebody else who's not a kohen, and immediately he's out of truma because kinyano. Will there a mayor tenach eved kohen? This is the question I asked in the Mishnah. Eved Yisrael ma'ikel neimar. This only works if he's an eved kohen. What's the? Why is it a detriment for an eved Yisrael to go free? He's not eating truma anyways. So Amar Shmuel Bar Yitzchak Meshimav Sido Mishif Chaknani, because by freeing him, you make him a Yisrael, and he can't be with the Shif Chaknanit anymore. So Adrava Hu Matur Bat Choin, but on the other hand, now he can be with a regular Jewish girl. So the answer is Avda Befker and Echale Avadim, like promiscuity, Zilale Shchichale Pritzale. She's available. She's loose. She's there. They like Shfachot because they're always available. So for an Eved, it's really bad to go free because he prefers the lower standards that come along with that kind of life. Okay, Amir Tzashem, we'll pick up at this last half of Mishnah Vav of the first parak in the next podcast. Over the next two podcasts, complete our study of the first parak of Masachet Gittin. Everybody should have a wonderful day.